A very English-sounding rule that he brought. Anyway, you're painting a good picture there of the violence of the law. But can I just ask, Judge Sheman, in the European Court of Justice, does it make any practical difference to you sitting as a judge there? Have you had to adapt your judging ways to fit in with the European way of doing things?
Very much so, indeed. The position here is very noticeably different at first blush in procedural terms because of the language problems. We are now a community of 19 different languages, which means that we may be addressed in any one of 19 different languages in court with simultaneous translations, which is a great inhibition in having the law hammered out in court in the same way as traditionally has been done in England.
Well, any flowery advocate would find that rather irritating to have his words translated, and a rather more precise construer of statute would equally find the arguments must tail off into translation points. Does that cause problems?
Yes, it does, which is why we tend to rely much more on written material, which too may need to be translated, but there is more time for the translators to get precisely the right word, and also for the national judge who happens to speak that language to be able to nuance it as required. But there is a language problem which affects partly the use of the actual words, but also in a rather cultural sense, also sometimes the cold conceptual way of talking. I think when I came here first, there was a slight amusement at the fact-based approach which the British have tended to bring to the court to move from the facts of a case to deciding the principle, rather than doing what in some ways strict theory requires one to do, namely to consider the point in the abstract, which is perhaps more in the French tradition.
So you're perhaps reinforcing the notion that the English legal system is, what, more down-to-earth, more robust, less addicted to fancy theories?
Well, all this can be exaggerated. At the end of the day, all our societies face very much the same type of tensions which it's the function of the law to resolve. Tensions between freedom of contract and protection of the consumer. Let money lenders fix what rates they like or lay down maximum rates. That goes back to the Romans. Tensions between freedom to demonstrate and freedom to walk along the road. Tensions between freedom of the legislator to lay down laws and the desire to protect the minority of the moment against oppression by the legislator. And we all tend to come up with very much similar examples, albeit by slightly different processes.
Professor Marcassinis, would you say there's now what could be described as a convergence between the various European systems, the English system, French, German, I think? Are they going to come together under sort of body of European law?
I would most definitely think that there is a convergence. It's a gradual convergence. It's an incremental convergence, which actually suits our mentality, our legal mentality.
Yes.
And the reason why it's there is very simple. We see a convergence in tastes, in habits. Everyone nowadays drinks cappuccino instead of tea. We wear the same clothes, drink Coca-Cola, eat McDonald's. The tastes, the customs, the habits are changing, and so is the law. But in addition to that, you have the globalization phenomenon. You have the fact that more companies are operating across borders. And, of course, where companies go, lawyers usually follow.
Professor John Bell.
I would add two things to that. Firstly, in public law, we have very common rules in the European Convention on Human Rights where people work together as a team in the court in Strasbourg to try and create rules which can apply to different countries, so that we are looking at cases now in England which are bits of litigation in Austria or in Turkey. So that's one thing. And the other thing is the importance of legal education and the way in which now we have elements of legal education which are common, and students who study in different European universities are coming from different European countries and beginning to understand each other socially as well as legally. And that creates a body of people who are able to work together to build a further European legal system.
And so it's a body of European law that's going to be developed, do you think?
There will also be national laws that will be different. There will be experimentation. There will be procedures that are different. But there are common values, there are common ideas. How we work those through in practice is often going to be different, just as within the United Kingdom, we're used to the Scots and the Welsh and the Northern Irish doing things differently, yeah, say, in education from the English.
Fascinating to learn from that discussion how the English common law is changing and developing because of a cross-fertilisation with civil law systems.